Welcome this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, you come in a morning where we're actually wrapping up our summer sermon series. We've been looking at the question, what did Jesus do? It's in response to the statement that a question a lot of people have heard, what would Jesus do? It's asked, you know, people, you see it on marketing stuff, what would Jesus do? And people typically kind of guess. Really, what would Jesus do in this situation? Because it's based on, well, I think he would do this. I feel like he would do this. And we've never really spent time looking at what Jesus did do so that we could get a better, clearer picture and ideal of what he would do in a current situation. You're also here at the beginning of what's going to be a transition week. Starting next week, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts. We've been in Luke all summer. And Luke wrote two books. He wrote the Gospel according to Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And all summer, we've been looking at what did Jesus do? Well, in Acts chapter 1, it says, in my former book, Theophilus, this is Luke writing, in the first book, the Gospel that I wrote you about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So we've looked at what Jesus did in his earthly ministry, and in this next quarter, we're going to be looking at what Jesus continues to do through us, his church. So you're in a transition this morning with us. If you're here visiting, we're just glad to have you. Hope you come back next week. For those who are regular attenders, you must come back next week because you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great, great fall as we get started. But as I said, we are coming to the end of this sermon series where we've been walking together through the book of Luke. We began this series by looking at Jesus at the age of 12 in the temple, as he sat in the temple learning and listening. Grounded in God's word, he was prepared to face the temptations that Satan would bring against him in the desert. We watched and saw how Jesus met people's needs, accepted them without accepting their sins and restoring the sinner to life. Jesus invested time and energy in training his disciples, and still he made time for the little children. No one was beneath his attention, and prayer marked his life and was foundational for everything he did. We saw this summer as Jesus confronted hypocrisy and the self-righteousness of the religious of his day, and how his heart broke for the lost. And his passion was that they too would come to worship the Father, and that he was willing to, in fact, cleanse the temple in order to keep anything from getting in the way of true worship. This morning, as we come to our final sermon in this series, we're going to see that Jesus taught truth. If you would, go ahead, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We come to the close of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, it's the last chapter there in Luke. Now, some of you who were here, you might remember that when we started this series, and even though we've been in Luke all summer long, I started by reading a passage from John. And let me just read it for you real quick. It's John chapter 13. It's the Last Supper. It's Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet. And he says to them in verse 12 of chapter 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." And then verse 15, Jesus says this, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Now, I've had a concern in this sermon series. In doing a series like this, one of my concerns has been is that you might miss something profoundly important. Well, certainly Jesus is our example. Jesus is the pattern that we should model our lives after. He is far more than a good moral example. Jesus is far more than just a good example for us to follow. He is your Lord and Savior. He is the risen Son of God. In this final section, we see Jesus teaching truth about himself. As Luke closes out his gospel, he's in these last couple chapters, he's brought us through the Passion Week, the Last Supper, the betrayal, and the desertion of his disciples. He's brought us through the arrest and the trials, the beating and the crucifixion. And chapter 23 ends with the death and burial. And then chapter 24 opens up with the resurrection and the meeting of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And picking up in verse 36, Jesus appears to the 11 disciples there in Jerusalem. The disciples were frightened. They thought at first he was a ghost. And he says, look, ghosts don't have flesh and bones. Ghosts don't eat. I'm not a ghost. I'm really here. And then in verse 44, listen to what Jesus says to them. Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. This isn't the first time they've heard this. Jesus had been teaching them this. While I was with you, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Everything from the Old Testament was ultimately about the coming Messiah, about Christ himself. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. He taught them the truth of what the Scriptures were saying about himself. He told them in verse 46, he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what the Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We now, as believers, are blessed to have indwell in us. At that moment of salvation, that moment that we accepted the truth about who Christ was and put our faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, we were filled, clothed with the power on high. Wow. There is so much packed into these few verses. As I said, this isn't the first time that Jesus said this. He's told his disciples this or something similar in the past. For the last three and a half years, Jesus has been teaching, preaching, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. I'm not going to take time to go through all the references, but it's throughout his ministry where Jesus is over and over again teaching and preaching and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching people about himself and the truth of who he is and what he was coming to accomplish. Though they didn't always get it, in fact, they rarely got it, but Jesus was always teaching truth. This just is the last recorded instance here in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus is before him in the trial, Pilate says, what is truth? It's a good question. What is truth? Look here in verse 46. It says, he told them, this is what is written, the Christ. The Christ is not his name, but it is a title. It identifies him as the Anointed One, the Redeemer of Israel, God's chosen one. And we know him to be God's one and only Son, who will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. This points to what Jesus accomplished on the cross, dying in your place, taking upon himself your sin, your guilt. And the victory over death, Jesus won in rising from the grave to give you eternal life. This eternal life is yours through repentance and forgiveness of sin. By confessing Jesus as Lord and acknowledging him, acknowledging your sins and turning from, repenting from those sins and turning from the past and choosing to follow Christ. Receiving the forgiveness for your sins that Jesus offers you is a free gift. This could be called Luke's version of the Great Commission. Jesus goes on and says that this message of forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. This truth isn't just for us. We are empowered and called to teach this truth. As Jesus taught it throughout his earthly ministry, as he pointed the disciples to who he was and what he was accomplishing, he has given us this same message to teach to others. We are to be a witness, a proclaimer, a teacher of this truth. just as Jesus taught truth, proclaiming the kingdom of God and preaching the message of salvation, he has called you to do the same. As we look this summer at what Jesus did, everything he did when he was sitting with the sick or the sinner or healing the blind or giving healing the lame, it was always to proclaim the truth about who he was. Verse 49, this gives me great hope. I don't have to do this in my own strength. I don't have to figure out how to be bold enough. Jesus says that he's going to send what the Father has promised. That is the Holy Spirit. He's going to send that Holy Spirit and clothe you with the power from on high. You don't have to do it in your own power. Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, to proclaim the message of salvation. What did Jesus do? Everything. Everything Jesus did, whether it was healing the sick or giving sight to the blind or eating with the sinners, everything he did so that he could teach and proclaim and confirm and validate the truth about who he is. The way you love your wives, men, does that proclaim the truth of the love of Christ? The way you offer forgiveness to someone who has wronged you, does that proclaim the truth of the gospel and what forgiveness and grace is about? The way you care for that neighbor's kid who just drives you crazy, does it proclaim the truth about Christ who said, suffer the little children? The way you reach out to those who are outcast by the rest of the community, does it proclaim the truth of Christ who came to seek the lost? Everything you and I do, everything, the way we work, the way we forgive, the way we laugh and enjoy life, the way we embrace each other and care for one another and those outside of the community, the way we talk about people when they're not around proclaims something. Is it proclaiming the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished? Everything we've looked at this summer, everything that Jesus did, and as John says, if everything that was done and said by Jesus Christ was written in book, the world couldn't contain all the books of everything he did. We've only touched the surface of what Jesus did. But everything he did was wrapped around this one central thought. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, rose again to give us everlasting life. And that message would be proclaimed to all the nations of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everything he did was wrapped around that one central focus. Is that what our lives, is that what your life is wrapped around? Was it wrapped around self? Is it wrapped around my needs? Is it wrapped around the way I feel? Or is it central? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered the grave and rose again on the third day, securing your eternal life. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for you as he prepares a place for you, and he will come again to judge the living and dead. This is the truth that I believe. This is the truth that Jesus teaches about himself. This morning, we're going to share communion, and before we share communion, I want to share a video with you, and it's kind of reminds me of the days when we used to see the Apostle Creed or the Nicene Creed, and it was a confirming of our faith. And this video really, I think, capsulizes the truth that Jesus teaches about himself. So I'm going to ask you to listen carefully to this video and just allow the words and the truth that is proclaimed in this video to reach your heart this morning. Josh, if you'd go ahead when you can.
I believe in Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, the prelude to Adam, the author of Eden, by all, in all, through all Genesis reason, the husband of a newborn bride. I believe earth is his love's ultimate beacon. I believe in Jesus, the infant king, ruler of the heavens, the universe's spring, yet he took the frailest of forms, the weakest of things, for our mighty God was not too proud for the stable and trough of Bethlehem's sting. I believe in Jesus, the forgiver of men. Since man could not come to God, God came to them. Though we spit in his face through our arrogance and sin, holiness became flesh and said it was forgiven. I believe in Jesus, the perfection of the law. For creation was doomed by the requirements it scrawled. But he came not to abolish correction, but fulfill us where we fall, and wrote a new law on our hearts. Love God and love all. I believe in Jesus, the Lord without a throne. He dumbfounded the masses by not making the crown his own, lost scores of followers by letting weakness be shown, and traded the palace for not having a home. I believe in Jesus, the tenant of the poor. He saw a beloved sister where the world saw a whore. He ate with those who weren't allowed through the temple's doors, and taught us to live with less so those with none could have some more. I believe in Jesus, the horribly betrayed, unknown by the world he himself had made, handed over to death by a follower to whom silver was paid, disowned by a friend three times in one day. I believe in Jesus, the ever-turning cheek, no sword in his hand. He took the way of the weak, redefined strength as beaten and meek. When men struck him on his back, only forgiveness did he speak. I believe in Jesus, the servant on the cross, to save the lives of the sinful. He considered his own life lost, endured the torture of men, whips and nails, and his flesh were embossed, received the wrath of God, Father punishing Son, the ultimate cost. I believe in Jesus and that flesh in the tomb. He bore the end of a normal human as he was born of a human's womb. He died a criminal's death and was buried in another man's room. God the Son lay dead, the lifeless groom. But I still believe in Jesus and the body of his resurrection, for he redefined life in death's final rejection, showed holes in hands to over 500 of his own selection, so that humanity would not be able to raise an objection that Jesus Christ is God the Son and has made the ultimate connection. So I believe in Jesus and the responsibility of his ascension. He ascended to God's right hand forever in intercession, leaving his truth in the hands of a few, the first to be called his Christians. His hands and feet are now the church, his timeless narrative expression. This is our heritage. They are our relatives, and this is our confession. We believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. No matter the tears of the world's hate and aggression, no matter the wares of holiness's painful progression, no matter the shares of suffering in our possession, no matter the layers of our apathy and transgression, we will carry the weight of faith's succession, for the world and its cares are nothing compared to this glorious injection, this everlasting song, this endless profession, that we are Christ's Christians and we live our radiant confession. I believe in Jesus Christ, the rallying cry of our eternal obsession.
I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you believe in this Jesus Christ, then what he did matters infinitely, eternally. If he's only a moral example, if he's only a prophet, if he's only a wise sage of the ages, then what he did really doesn't matter. But if he is truly the Son of God, as he teaches, as he proclaims about himself, if he is the risen Lord and Savior of the world, then what he did matters beyond everything else and should and needs to be the center of our lives. It needs to matter above everything else in your life. Today, do you believe in this Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the Son of God who died for your sins, rose to give you everlasting life, who has sent the Spirit of God upon you to clothe you with power on high, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to go and do what He did, go and love others in His name, so that you can teach the truth about who He is. See, if we miss that point, we can live good moral lives, but if we don't point people to who Jesus Christ is, we deny what He is. If we don't point them and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven by which man might be saved, then we deny Him. Do you believe in what Jesus did on the cross for you? Do you believe who He is? Do you believe His truth when He says that you are clothed from on high with power? We are His church, and we are to do what He did so that we can proclaim Him. I'm going to ask the men to come forward, and they're going to help us serve communion. If you believe in this Jesus Christ, you can come forward and receive the elements. If you want to receive them and kneel and pray, go back to your seats, and we'll share them together. But this is a reminder that on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is what I do for you. This is my body which is broken for you." This is what He did for you. He took your sins and your guilt and bore it in His own flesh. And after supper, He took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant which is in my blood. When you drink it, redo it in remembrance of me, that you are not only forgiven, but you are washed clean and now powered to go and proclaim His death, burial, and resurrection to the world around us." As He said the night that He did this, that we are to do this in remembrance and proclaim this until He returns, because we know that He's coming back again. He's coming back and He will judge the living and the dead, and we need to be busy about doing His business to proclaim the truth of salvation. I ask if you'd come forward and receive the elements. Just come on down front. We'll invite you guys down.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, give me Jesus. And when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
The body of Christ, which is broken for you. The blood of Christ, the cup of life. Lord Jesus, we believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross, was buried and raised again. That you are now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on our behalf. That you have sent your Holy Spirit to clothe us with power from on high and given us the message to proclaim the truth of who you are until you return. May we be found faithful. Pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
And when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, you can have all this world, yes, you can have all. But give me Jesus.